From Surviving to Thriving, a student's guide to feeling and doing well at university. Hello and welcome to Growth Coaching International's Coaching in Education podcast series. I'm your host, Richard Reid, and in this episode, we take a sidestep into the field of positive psychology with our very own global director, Professor Christian van Nieuwburg. In his latest book, co-edited by Paige Williams, university students get access to strategies, insights, and hacks from some of the leading academics in the field of positive psychology as they navigate their way not only through university life, but in their life beyond education as well. Christian, it's a pleasure to have you join me on the podcast today.
It's wonderful to be here, Richard.
Christian, you have had many, many years of experience of life at university, initially as a student, but also as an educator. Your most recent position being Professor of Coaching and Positive Psychology at the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. In the opening pages of this book, you state that this has been a very meaningful project for you. Can you share with us what motivated or inspired you to get involved in the writing of this book?
Thank you so much, Richard. Yes, you're right. Now that I think back, I've spent probably most of my life in university settings. And exactly, Richard, as a student as well. And as a student at university for many years over, you know, different institutions, studying different things, I loved the opportunity of learning as a student. And then when I had the wonderful opportunity, also from a pretty young age, to start teaching at university, because I taught while I was a student to kind of to get some financial aid. So I was teaching at university when I was maybe 19, 20 years old initially, in the very early days. And yeah, it is a very meaningful project for me because I've now realized, Richard, that my passion for coaching is linked to my passion for supporting people to learn.
Christian, before we get into the detail of the book, maybe you'd like to explain to our listeners something about the shape and the structure of the book. Essentially, you have co-edited the book alongside Paige Williams. However, there is an impressive lineup of contributors to this book who are all experts in the field of positive psychology. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So Paige and I met when I was delivering some teaching at the University of Melbourne, the Centre for Wellbeing Science out there. And we were just chatting, and Paige also teaches at university, and like me, she's done a lot of study at university as well. We were talking about the joy of being at university, and we were reflecting that over the last couple of decades, that might have been chipped away at a little bit, and we were saying we wanted to do something to remind everyone in this endeavor, in the university endeavor, about the joyfulness of it. And that's the thing I touched on right at the beginning. I enjoyed my time at university. And when I wanted to work at a university, it was because I wanted to be part of that joyous enterprise of people learning together, people growing together, people dreaming together. So when we had that conversation, the two of us, we came up with this idea of what about we edit a book that would support students to really make the most of their time at university. So that was the initial concept. And then we came up with the idea of, well, let's go to experts in the field of positive psychology who have something to say about human flourishing. But we also wanted to make sure that these experts also had experience of teaching at university. That was an important consideration because, really trying to write directly to the reader and be helpful to the reader, that was a really important principle of this. And we thought if we have that combination of expert in the field, but also has experience of working with students at university, they're going to bring the knowledge to the page in a way that's helpful for the reader.
Terrific. Christian, you and Paige have written a fantastic chapter early on in the book in order to set the landscape for the other contributors, and you have entitled the chapter Learn About How You Learn. Now, I would imagine that for many students who have achieved a university place, they may well have a terrific grasp of their subject, but may not necessarily have such a terrific grasp of metacognition. What is the importance of this chapter early on in the book?
Well, Richard, we had our own reasons for wanting to write this at the beginning, but your question has actually sparked a new response to that. But the original reason for the learning to learn was we thought, look, the idea of this book is that while you're a student at university, you're going to be learning about the subject, whatever the chosen subject is, but you're also going to be learning about what it is you need as a human being to flourish. Yes. So the principle was, why don't we start off by highlighting, helping the learner to think a bit about how do I learn best so that they get the most out of the book that they're going to be reading. So that was the original idea. But as you ask me that question, I think it also makes me think that we're maybe suggesting that it's almost as important to learn about how we learn about the subject and ourselves, not only for the book, but for life in general. And I don't think that was our original plan, but as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking knowing how we learn is so important for us as we grow. And what triggered this for me is your question, because you're right. Those students who do decide to go on to university, they've probably had a very successful time within an academic context, but maybe it's by learning how to perform well in exams. And really, we want this transition to actually learning for the sake of learning rather than for the sake of proving or passing certain assessments.
Fantastic. Christian, reading through the individual chapters from the various contributors, I have had to be very disciplined as I could easily ask questions about each and every one of them. However, in the interest of keeping to time, I'd love to draw our attention to the chapter entitled Focus on What is Possible. So given your experience as a coach, I'd love to hear your thoughts on goal setting and the relevance of this to the well-being of university students.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. Now, a focus on what's possible. You're absolutely right to single this one out, because essentially that's what coaching is all about. And, you know, I know that both you and I have this passion for coaching. And I think one of the things that's most powerful about coaching is that it's a conversation that helps you to do just that, focus on what's possible. And I think if we're thinking about particularly university students, and of course, university students can be of all ages, but one thing that's clear is that time at university requires energy and effort. And I think this idea of focusing on what's possible means that students can focus their attention and the energy that they have on the things that they're more likely to be able to change and influence, rather than being distracted by things that they're not able to change. So that's the idea about having that chapter in the book. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that I'm passionate about coaching in education, because it helps all of us, both students and educators, to focus on what it is that we can most influence or where we can make the greatest difference. And Richard, sorry to kind of divert slightly from the question, but I just wanted to highlight to the listeners now that this book, From Surviving to Thriving, we, Paige and I, originally came up with this idea before we'd ever even heard of COVID. So COVID wasn't in our mind when we wrote this book. But as I'm answering the questions and having this conversation with you now, I'm just reflecting on how much more important it's become to think about this idea of not just surviving, that idea of how do we move from surviving to thriving. And one of those things, one of the ways is definitely to look at what's going on in our current situations. There's quite a few things we can't change. There's quite a few things that maybe we'd like to be different. But even now, in this moment, it's a good question to say, well, what can I change? What are the things that I can influence, and turn our attention to those things?
Christian, in the chapter called Learn About Yourself, written by Aaron and Rebecca Jordan, there's a very interesting statement about an optimal pace of life. Aaron and Rebecca state that slowing down and simplifying are central to increased well-being, greater self-care, and improved academic performance in a university environment. What are your thoughts on this approach?
I loved that chapter too, Richard, and I do think that statement stood out to me. You know, I had the very fortunate role of editing quite a few of these chapters, and I probably read each of these chapters in full 12 times before they were published. And that statement still is pretty clear in my mind. And I love that because of this idea of optimal pace. And I think it's, again, one of the things that may be interesting for our listeners now is that although we were very clear that we were writing this book for students, it kept coming back to me again and again that a lot of these ideas are relevant for educators as well. So I think this idea of pace, or if you like, tempo, Richard, it's something very important for us to think about in educational settings, because it can sometimes feel that there isn't enough time, or that we're feeling a little bit harried or harassed. So I think being intentional about what is the pace that I would like, or what about a different question? What's the right pace or tempo for what it is I want to be doing? So whether it's revising or experimenting, trying something new, or something social that we're doing, I think if we can be more intentional about what's my pace, what's the tempo that's needed for whatever it is I'm going to do. So this is these questions you're asking are so helpful, Richard, because we've presented quite a few different theories and ideas, and it's for every student to take from the various chapters and kind of come up with their own plan to say, well, for me, this is the right pace. I'd like to focus on these things so that they can move from, if they are surviving, move from surviving into really thriving and making the most of their time at university.
Yeah. And I suppose for me, when I read the chapter, you know, you talk about writing the book and coming up with a concept before the COVID pandemic. And I think through those 2 years, for me as an educator, we were forced to slow down our pace in many ways. We didn't really have a choice. And I suppose it gave us a lot of time to reflect on what we really want to achieve, which again, which I think the goal setting, you know, in the previous question is very, very important. So I think, yes, that's really useful to just consider the fact that this will mean maybe slightly different things to different people. And I suppose the more years that go past and the more people you talk to about this book, you'll get all sorts of interesting insights coming back to you. Towards the end of the book, Christian, you and Paige encourage the reader to consider various occasions where service to others has been referred to. Mm. Now, whilst there's a strong focus on self-care, self-awareness throughout the book, how might it even further benefit students to create opportunities to serve others during their university experience?
Yeah. Now, I think this idea of being of service to others, it's something that's particularly important to me, Richard. And that's something that I aspire to doing. And I think for me, and hopefully for students as well, this idea of there's two things here. One is thinking about if I want to be of service to others, how do I need to be? And in many ways, Richard, it gives us and other students, I'm talking about, permission to look after themselves. And that's been so important, particularly over these last 2 years, so that there's going to be many students out there excited about what it is they're learning so that they can make a contribution. So another way of framing this is, in order to make the contribution you want to make, how do you need to look after yourself? And so that's an important message, one of them.
Yeah.
The other thing is, in being of service to others, I think we get so much. And so there's an anecdotal story I heard from a university student, and we were talking about something similar, and they had just moved into new dorms, accommodation for university, and it was the first time they were away from their family. It's a new subject, and this student said to me, "You know, the person in the room next to me, the one along, was crying. You know, crying, missing their family." So this student talked them through it, almost like a coach was saying, "So tell me about it, and how do you think you're going to feel later, and how can you stay connected?" And the student I was talking to said that supporting the other student was good for them. It helped them feel one. It helped them feel, I'm not the only one feeling a bit lonely or unsettled or whatever it is. But two is, it allowed them to use their empathy and connect with others. Mm. And in supporting the other student to think about it, it allowed them to come up with some strategies for themselves. So I love this idea of, even through focusing on being of service to others, it's good for us, and it forces us to think about, how do I need to be so that I can be of service to others? Or in the case of university students, maybe, how do I need to be so that I can make the contribution that I'm hoping to make?
Terrific. Finally, Christian, one of the concluding messages you and Paige share at the end of the book is to savor your experience. What final message would you like to give to university students who might be listening into this podcast, those who may be right at the start of their journey, as well as those who have a year or two under their belt?
Yeah, well, Paige and I actually had this conversation even before we started writing this book, and we were reflecting back that when we talk to people of our generation, if you like, many of them look back to their university and say, those were the best years of my life. Mm. And that happens so often that my message to current university students is, that's likely to happen to you as well. So it's likely that these days and times at university, there'll be the challenges, there'll be the ups and downs. But when you look back, these are going to be the days that you think, well, those were really amazing days. So I think that's kind of our message in terms of make the most of it now and really enjoy it. And what I love about university is that it's a pretty unique opportunity for us to dedicate a big proportion of our time to learning and personal growth that as adults, that time becomes more and more pressured, and so looking back, we realize, wow, what a privilege it was to have all this time to dedicate to studying and to socializing and getting to know ourselves. So I guess our message is, take as much opportunity and advantage of that as you can now.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Christian, it has been a real pleasure to hear your thoughts on this, your latest book, and I'm sure it will have a very positive effect on those listening to this podcast. For our listeners, I will place a link to the book in the podcast description. If you are a student listening in and have achieved a university place, first of all, congratulations. Clearly, you have demonstrated a solid grasp of your subject. However, whether you're starting out as a fresher or you have already experienced a year or two of university life, I'm sure you'll be keen to enhance your personal well-being by considering these strategies and insights into how you might really thrive, not just survive your time at university and beyond.